Welcome to the Fulbright General Interest Session. My name is Umberto Barreto. I'm a professor in the Economics Department, and I had the distinct honor and pleasure of being a Fulbright Scholar in 1992-93 in the Dominican Republic. I was a professor and the hated rival, believe it or not. I was at Wabash College, and I got a Fulbright to go to the DR, and I spent a year there. And I really like Fulbright, and I've always kind of been involved in the program. I am currently running the Fulbright undergraduate program here at DePauw with Professor Marnie McGinnis, so you'll see emails from either me or her. I want to make sure you sign that sign-up sheet, and so we can add you to the list. If anybody's listening to this online, send me an email, and we'll get you added to the list. So you are looking at Nishita, and she won a Fulbright. She's a DePauw grad. Went to Fulbright and to Indonesia, and this line right here is important. She's one of 27 students and faculty members at DePauw to win a Fulbright in the past 5 years. And with that little piece of information, I'd like you to know that although Fulbright is prestigious and it's hard to get, it's not impossible. And I think that's a really important thing to consider as you ponder kind of how you want to apply to selective kind of programs and fellowships and life after DePauw. There are over 1,500 awards every year. Now many people apply, but still you've got a realistic chance of maybe getting one of these awards. So far this year we had six students make it past the National Screening Committee, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in a few minutes. And so far we've got, I think, three that have been awarded Fulbrights for the coming year. So that's really cool. Personally, I'm a very competitive kind of guy, so I'd like to see us get maybe like 10, maybe get like 25 applicants or so and get like 10. Last year we had 20 applicants that completed the application. We started off about 30, but the application's kind of involved, and I'll talk to you for a little bit about that. But we ended up with 20, and six got past the screening committee, and now we'll see how many Fulbrights we actually end up with, okay? So my presentation this evening will be, I think, really kind of brief. I hope to be done in 20, 25 minutes or so, and then I'd be happy to answer any questions you've got. So let's talk a little bit about Fulbright and kind of what it's all about. A couple websites there that aren't too important. This is Senator Fulbright, and he started from Arkansas. He started the Fulbright program, and I think the primary goal, which is really important when you write your personal statement and your essay and you're thinking about Fulbright seriously, you need to remember that the goal is to increase mutual understanding between the people of the United States and the people of other countries through international educational exchange programs. So if you win a Fulbright, and when you apply, and when we have the on-campus interview and all this other stuff that goes on, you need to keep in mind that you really are an ambassador for the United States, and they're looking for people who will represent the United States well, okay? I think that's something that can be forgotten in kind of the detail of applying and all that stuff. Try to remember that goal, because I think it's important. So let's talk just really quickly about the nuts and bolts of kind of what you're applying for, and I'll tell you how the process works, and I'll tell you what you get if you win, right? And then I'll give you my own kind of two cents on how you should attack this problem or how you should think about this. So it's really important that you understand that there are really two kinds of awards. They're separate. Okay. The first one's called the Research Study Grant, and that's sort of the traditional Fulbright. When people talk about Fulbright, that's what they're thinking of, this research grant, and you get a year in another country to do independent research. Okay. You've got to write a proposal for what this research is going to be, and then you've got to sell it. It's really important. I'll mention this a couple times, and I'll mention it many more times. Whenever you hear me speak, you'll hear me talk about this. You got to understand that what's going to happen is people are going to judge you and your proposal, and the probability, you know, of you getting an award is strictly a function of how you can grab the person's attention in your writing. Your personal statement, your essay, they have to have pop. something has to grab the reader's attention, like really strongly, like around the shoulders, and say, this is a really cool idea. I really want this person to do this, whatever wacky idea you cooked up. Okay? It can't be bland, and it can't be sort of, you know, it's not something that you're going to just write like in a few hours. Forget it. Okay? The way we're going to do this to maximize your chances is we're going to assign you a mentor, a writing mentor, and we're going to have a series Friday afternoons where we get together and we go over your essay and we're going to polish and polish and polish and shine and shine and shine until this thing is brilliant. Now, here's one big advantage of this whole process if you decide to undergo this, okay? Because I think an important thing that you need to know right off the bat, and this is terrible, right? I'm an economist, so you know, I mean, we're the dismal science, okay? But you ready? I'm going to lay this on you. You ready? I think you're probably not going to win. Okay? What do you think of that? So then right now, so you're just like, okay, what the hell am I doing this for? Okay, and the answer is, seriously, well, you might win, but seriously, because the process is so good. The process is what it's all about. You're going to write a personal statement, you're going to write a proposal, and you can use this to apply for other prestigious fellowships and scholarships, for graduate school, for jobs. Once you get this personal statement and it's really, really shiny, and you've worked on it a lot, you can use it in a lot of different ways. I think that's the real kind of benefit of this. One of the things that we'll do in the application process is you'll have an on-campus interview. You'll meet in a room with four DePauw faculty, and they'll have read your proposal, and they'll know, they'll have your transcript, they'll have your entire application, and they'll ask you questions about why you want to do this, how prepared are you, what's the knowledge you have of this country, just a bunch of, that's great practice. That's great practice for a job interview, for a graduate school interview. So I really honestly think, you know, I tell people all the time, hey, you should think about Fulbright. And I feel guilty sometimes because I know that I'm asking them to undergo sort of an ordeal of a bit. I mean, it's quite a bit. It's quite a lot of stuff to do. But I really do think the process is good for you, okay? So if you apply for a research grant, you got to come up with that statement that's going to be your proposal and what it is you want to study and what it is you want to do. And that takes a lot of effort. If you apply for an English teaching assistantship, okay, then you're essentially applying to be a teacher of English in a foreign country, and you're going to spend 20 to 30 hours a week in a classroom as an assistant. You won't have your own class. You won't be the teacher, but you'll be an assistant, okay? And one of the things that you're supposed to do is you're supposed to have some kind of a community-focused project, okay? So if you're an ETA, so now we know ETA is English Teaching Assistant, you're an ETA, then you still have the personal statement, your proposal won't be as involved and as long, it's only one page instead of two, and there are strict requirements on, you know, single-spaced and all this other business, okay? The application's all online, everything's online. And you just follow the rules. It's kind of complicated. We'll have to communicate, and I think I'm a pretty good communicator, but we'll have to work on that and make sure that everybody's kind of following along and doing what they're supposed to do. But you need to understand that even if you're an ETA, you've got to come up with some kind of project of how you're going to spend your time in that country, and you want to interact with the community. That's really important. So a couple people just walked in. I have this little sheet here for sign-up, so we can make sure to sign that. We'll get your names on there. Okay? So here's the kind of the general timeline. This PowerPoint is from Fulbright, and we've just inserted a couple slides in there of our own. But here's the basic kind of flow, so just so you understand what you're kind of embarking on or thinking about doing. And that is, you're going to work on your ideas and what exactly you want to do. When you come back to campus, then we really hit the ground and we really focus on getting the application down and getting it all ready to go. We'll have a campus deadline, then there's a national deadline. Then in New York City, all of the applications are viewed and kind of the candidates are chosen from all around the United States, okay? That still doesn't mean you've won because, like I just said a little while ago, we have 20 applicants and 6 got chosen. But then the countries get to decide. So once you get chosen by the screening committee, then your chances are pretty good of, now you have a better than even chance of going, but it's still not 100%, you're still not a lock, okay? And then final notification, you'll see, is pretty late. Like, we're just hearing, and it's staggered, right? We're just hearing, because the countries do it, you know, at the country level, they're doing it at different times. So we're just hearing back. So let me show you this slide, which is the DEPA timeline 2011. So here are our dates, okay? So you are here to learn a little bit about it, and you could all be, you know, different class years and all that. And if you're younger, that's good, because you can be thinking about, you know, the future. If you're a junior or a senior, this is going to happen, right? You've got to apply by September 4th. You've got to say that you're going to apply, and then you're involved. Is there anybody that hasn't signed this thing? Let's pass that around. Then we'll have these on-campus interviews. We'll have the campus deadline here. We'll have these on-campus interviews, and then this is the national deadline. Okay? Who's eligible for this? Okay, you got to be a U.S. citizen. That's pretty important. All right? You got to have a BA. This one's kind of important. Okay? There's this book, like, floating around. The story on the book is Fulbright used to send us, used to send every school, like, big stacks of all these hard, you know, printed hard copy books. They're not doing that anymore because they're trying to save money. So all of this stuff's online, okay? But we've got a few copies, and I'm just sort of passing it around, but I'll collect them at the end. But that book and the online website tells you the explicit rules for each country, and they're different, and I don't know them all. So some countries say you have to be proficient in Spanish, say. Ecuador might say you have to be proficient in Spanish. But Senegal might be like, we don't care if you speak any language here, you know, as long as you speak English, that's great. Okay, so you have to look at the different countries and see what kind of proficiency they require. I guess I'll segue really quickly here into, like, how do you pick the country? That's a really, really hard question. Obviously, it has to be somewhere that you have an interest in. You don't necessarily have to have been there before, but you do have to know, you have to know something about the country in order to apply there, okay? That's kind of critical. I'll take your question in a second, but one other really, really important piece of information here is, this is a government agency, and they're totally transparent. So they've got a web page, and there's a page in that printed book that's going around that tells you exactly how many people applied for that country, how many awards they had. So you can tell which countries are, like, really hard to get the award and which countries are less in demand. And you could use that information in your favor to increase the probability of success. Like I mentioned at the very beginning that I won a Fulbright to the Dominican Republic. I was born in Cuba. I'm a native speaker of Spanish. I could have gone anywhere. But I mean, I looked at the numbers, and like everybody wants to go to Spain, so I was like, forget that. I'm not doing that because I don't have much of a chance, right? Nobody wants to go to Honduras. Nobody wants to go to the DR. I'm in. You have to pick one country. You have to pick one country, and you have to pick one award, either the research award or the ETA. You can't be like, whatever you give me. You can't do that. You got to pick. Okay? So you still got your question, or did I babble too long?
Do you have any idea if studying abroad in that country decreases your chances?
That's a great question. So it does not.
Okay?
The countries are very clear about this. Like, they might say, you can't have been in the country, you can't have lived in the country for more than 12 months or 2 years, right? They want you, I think this is like pretty straightforward. They want you to be in a place where you don't know everybody, and so then you're kind of alone and you're scared, and then you have to go and meet people and get out in the community and make friends, and then those people can see what an American is like. That's what this is all about. This is all some kind of American outreach program to convince other countries that, you know, I don't know, I'm being taped, so, you know, hey, that America is not sort of the evil empire or something that, you know, and what governments are governments, but that people, I think this was Fulbright's original idea, it's kind of a cool idea, you know, that people are people and they can get along and you can, you know, meet each other, okay? So you can't, you know, just a semester of off-campus study isn't going to hurt you. I might recommend thinking about, say you went to France, right? Then you might then say, I have these French skills and I've shown that I can live in another country and another culture and be successful, but maybe I'll go Francophone Africa. or I'll go somewhere else where I can use these French skills, but and I'll use my experience in France as support for my claim that I'm a good citizen and a good person, and I'm flexible and I'm adaptable. I'll use all that, but I'll do it in a different place. I might do something like that. Okay? All right. So let's keep going here. Let me just talk for a couple minutes. Again, if you just walked in a little bit late, we're talking about this Fulbright program, and my strategy here is really simple. I just want to give you a broad overview of the program, what some of the things are, what are, hit some of the highlights. I know you're really busy. I'm guessing like maybe 15 more minutes, and then I really want to turn it over to you and answer whatever questions you have. Okay? So let's focus on the research grants. So there is no minimum GPA. Fulbright doesn't do that. But I think you have to be a pretty good student. I think you have to be a good student. And if you're not a good student, if you have like a low GPA, you better have some reasons for this. You have some splaining to do, okay? I mean, what's going on? But you can do it. You can do it. But you really, really, really need a well-developed project. I think that second bullet item is critical. You need to have something that you've thought about very carefully, and we'll help you with that, and we'll help you polish it and shine it and focus it. You definitely have something that you want to research and do while you're in that country, okay? Again, with the language proficiency, I won't go over that. Notice, again, this is a Fulbright PowerPoint. Notice, again, they're hitting on the goal is to focus on increasing mutual understanding through community engagement. I think that's pretty important. Keep that on the radar, because I think that's critical, okay? What if you decide to do an ETA? Well, this primary goal here is they want American students who are obviously proficient speakers of English, you know, with great English accents and all that, American accents, and they, you know, so if you're a school, one of our winners this year won an ETA to Slovakia, right? So she's going to go and show off her English accent and English skills and help little Slovakians learn how to speak English, right? 20 to 30 hours a week can be anything from K through 12 or maybe even a university. You don't know where you'll be sent. We've had pretty good success the last few years in Korea. And we have another winner that we just got news today of a student who will be doing an ETA in Korea. You won't be sent to Seoul. You don't know where you'll be sent, but you know, when you do this ETA thing, they can send you anywhere and they can send you any level. So whatever proposal you come up with, it's got to be flexible. You've got to be able to do this kind of at different levels. Like our Slovakia winner, her proposal was, I remember it was really catchy. She wrote a really good proposal, and it's clear that that was a winner. So it was sort of journal writing to help young women sort of find their voice, and you can do that. You can do that like high school level. I think that was her goal. But you can also do that, easily adapt at the university, maybe even down to like middle school, right? Teach people how to write journals, how to express their feelings and all that stuff, right? So I think that's something to think about. You know, if you're into soccer, then you could do that. You could say my community project, my side project is going to be, I'm going to start this soccer club, and you can do that pretty much at any level, right? So you got to think of something like that, okay? But then you can't just be that goofy. You know how I said it so goofily? You're just like, start a soccer club. It's that. But you've got to figure out a way to sell that, and it's got to have pop. And it's got to be like, you know, you would say why you're passionate about that. Why soccer? What did soccer do for you? And, you know, all that stuff. So that's the way this works. I'm just trying to be as clear as I can. Again, the language proficiency is described for each country. Some of them require, some of them don't. You'll want to look at each country description and see what's going on. You'll want to get to that website and you'll want to start navigating it. It's really comprehensive. There's a lot of stuff in there, and sometimes it's kind of hard to figure out. So it's not something you pick up like that. It's something that takes time to understand what's going on. So let's talk about, you know, you win this thing. What do you get? Well, so you get round trip airfare, woo, to the country of your winning destination. This is like The Price is Right or something like that. You get this monthly stipend. You get insurance. Give you tuition if you want to take a course or two at the university there. You're not going to get rich, but it's a wonderful experience and it really changes lives. And what they're looking for with the ETAs, I think, are Let me backtrack for just a second because I forgot to tell you this. I think they're looking for, if you're in teacher ed or you're going to be a teacher, I think that's a real advantage. And I think you should put that on the application and talk about that because I think they're looking for that. Even if you're not teacher ed, you can still win this thing, but you're going to have to explain how you're a good teacher. Like, what did you do? Did you volunteer in Greencastle schools? Did you do some summer camp teaching? What coaching? You can extend this thing so that it's not narrowly kind of teaching, but you're going to have to talk about that, right? So keep that idea in mind. I'll really quickly go over this. I don't think we've had anybody win this. So there are certain places around the world where there are very few Americans that speak that language, or for whatever reason. Here, I'll just go to the slide real quick, and you'll see. Well, I guess you can't because it's pretty small. But see all these countries right here? These are all places around the world where the United States feels that there are not enough Americans that speak that language. And so this particular program within Fulbright is you take a year to learn the language, and then you go. So it's kind of interesting. It's kind of cool. You might want to look at that as a possibility. You'd be the first person from the PAW to win that in a while, I think. So let's talk about the application itself. I'm thinking another few minutes, and I'll turn it over to you. So if those neurons fire and be thinking about questions, right? Because what'll happen is when I finish talking, it'll be like silence, right? And so, you know, you're thinking about your questions. So here we go. So how does this work? So the application is completely online. It's kind of involved. It's like 10, 15 pages of stuff. A lot of stuff, okay? The keys of the application are you got to have this statement of purpose either for the research study or the ETA, which is what your project is. And then you also have to have this personal statement where you talk about yourself. It's kind of complicated. That's why we have an English professor that kind of is doing this with me, right? And she like reads all these and gives feedback and runs these workshops and will trade papers. And you, once you start working on this thing, you'll want to share it with everybody and their mother, just whoever you can find. Hey, read this, okay, and tell me what you think. Okay? It's not a one-time shot deal. It's not. It's really a process where you keep shining and shining and shining. The thing that's great about it is once you get this thing, you can use it for a lot of other things. And so I'll keep pushing that idea. If the country requires a language report, you got to get that. The references are really important. We'll talk about that later. We're trying our best to help faculty at DePaul write good references. You know, you'll want to go talk to the person who's writing your reference and show them your statement of grand purpose and your personal statement and say what it is you're doing. Don't just email the person and go, hey, write me a reference. Because they'll write some generic, bland reference that's not what you want, right? So all of these skills that you're learning, if you're still listening to me, all these skills that you're learning are incredibly valuable. You can use them for lots of other things. So I think that's why this is such a good process. So check this out. Another part of your application is the campus committee evaluation. So I mentioned that you were going to be interviewed by a group of four faculty. Not only are you going to be interviewed, but they fill out a form that goes with your application. And they write a description of, it's like, I'm trying to remember some of the parts of the form. They're like, validity and feasibility of proposed project, right? Knowledge of host country. A couple years ago, I was on a committee here, and this person wanted to go to Argentina. And I was like, hey, everybody knows that Buenos Aires is the capital of Argentina, but what's another major city in Argentina? I don't know. That's not good. You need to start learning about the country, maybe get Google alerts, maybe do something where you know about the politics, the culture, the sports, the whatever, what's going on there, who the president is, who's the opposition. You gotta know the country so that when you go before this campus committee, they know that you've done your research and you're prepared, right? And then we actually rank students. You should know this. We are not in any real way a barrier to you. The campus committee, we're gonna send all the applications on, okay? The committee is going to say there's a number that we have to give, you know, one exceptional, 1.5 outstanding, like that. You know, all the way to bad. I don't know what the last number is, but it's not good. Okay, so, but we don't tell anybody, no, you can't do this. And we don't tell anybody, no, you can't apply for a Fulbright. I honestly think the Fulbright application process is a good thing. The process itself is good, and it would be great if we could get lots of, we get overrun, but if we could get lots of DePaul students applying, it would be a good thing. If you know students who, friends of yours that might be interested in this, let them know. I mean, that would be a good thing, okay? You gotta get a letter of affiliation, that's like a university or a research institute or something, saying, yes, we welcome, you know, James or Jane or whatever. We can talk more about that later if you have any questions. Couple other slides, and then I'm turning it over to you. Ready? The application is completely online, and if you're a senior, you might want to know this. You can apply, once you get your BA, after you graduate from DePaul, you can apply for a Fulbright just yourself. But it's better if you apply through a host university, and DePaul should be your host university if you graduate from here. If you apply through us, we'll give you all the resources that we have. We'll give you all of the kind of the workshops and the writing sessions and the, you know, everything we can do, the discussion with a mentor. We'll assign a faculty member to you to help you put your application together, and we'll do the campus committee form evaluation. We'll do all that. So even if you're a senior, even if you're not on campus, one of the people that won or that was chosen by the National Screening Committee, she's in Denver. She's got an ETA. She won an ETA. She hasn't won it yet, I hope. I was on the little group of four that did the interview, so I'm biased and partial toward her winning. But she's got an ETA to Malta, and it would be great if she got it. But she was in Denver, so we did a conference call. And that was fine. So if you're a senior, not a problem. You'll be gone, but that's okay in September. But we'll get it figured out. Okay, if you're going to be studying off campus, not a problem. We'll get it figured out. Okay? So letter of affiliation, again, something very quick that I'll run through. And here's some contact information, a bunch of different sites. Again, I'll put this PowerPoint on the web, on our webpage. My computer is blinking at me that I'm running out of power, so I'm gonna just show you my contact information, and then I'm gonna